The scripture reading for this morning's sermon is from Matthew chapter 20. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another to the ability to distinguish between the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. And all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Okay, well, I saw a bunch of you come in with binders this morning. We handed out binders. This is sort of a workshop style set of 3 weeks. So let's do some housekeeping. If you weren't here last week, we have binders for you. So Joy and Joe, they have those. All you need to do is raise your hand. If you forgot your binder and you want to look on, don't raise your hand, because we also have today's inserts. So if you were here last week and you brought your binder, you just need the inserts. If you forgot your binder, you probably still want the insert. So we don't want you to take home a second binder unless you want to pay $5, then you can take home a second binder. But we won't hold you to any of that. Just we want to make sure you have the things that you need. So again, looks like Joy has the inserts for today. Today's part of the lecture, so raise your hand if you want that. Looks like Joe has binders. If you need a binder, you weren't here last week and need a binder, let's see, we got a couple hands in the back and on the side. So you just holler and point and we will get what you need. So there's also pens, and we want to make sure that you have those, so those will come around. Let's open that up, and then Chris, why don't you just take one, buddy, and then we'll... No, you're doing great.
We'll
just pass the bucket through, and you guys can... You're welcome. You can take a pin as you need it. Okay. If you're a guest this morning, this is quite different than normal. This is very much, like I said, a workshop sort of context as we do this study on spiritual gifts. And so, again, lots of moving around right now. That's fine. It's really meant to be interactive. So if you have questions along the way, raise your hand, and I will try to stop my train of thought and get to your question. If I don't, try to hold on to it, and definitely before we dismiss today, we want to get to those. But again, we want you to have the things you need. Again, a binder that's got everything from last week. And if you're getting a binder, you've got today's notes already. And if you just need today's notes, those are there as well. And pins are coming through. As that's coming along, just a little introductory story. I'm on Facebook once in a while. I don't spend a lot of time on there, but I do like to see what's going on in people's lives. And I use it mostly for sharing family and church things. So one of the things Facebook does, those of you that are on Facebook know, it'll give you a notification about something that you shared or did a year ago or 6 years ago, kind of from your history, and it's fun to see those memories. It's really a nice feature. So today, I think it was 7 years ago, I took a picture of my daughter, Mina. Now, my daughter, Mina, turns 18 on Wednesday. So when you see her this morning, she's in the nursery, you can say, "Mina, I can't believe you're going to be 18. Happy early birthday." She'd love all the attention she can get. So you can do that. So 7 years ago, when she was 10, I believe it was fifth grade, I was helping out in her class. And so I took this picture of her and about four other kids working at a table. And my caption was, "I'm in Mina's class today helping. I gave her group an answer that I looked up on Wikipedia. Hopefully that's okay. I wanted them to get ahead of the other groups." So kind of tongue-in-cheek, okay? And a buddy of mine added the comment. He said, "Paul, I'm sure it's no problem at all, right? Just like James says, every good gift is from the Father above." And then he, I think, quoted Jesus, who says, what father doesn't want to give good gifts to his kid, you know? And he goes, "There, sermon illustration." And so here it is, 7 years later, just as I, as a dad, in that moment as these groups are working, and I had the freedom to, the teacher wasn't mad, it wasn't like a test, was able to give an answer to nudge their group along. And I did it for my daughter, for her group. I don't care about the other groups that much. I care about my daughter's group because she's my kid. And I want to give gifts and see her smile and see her succeed. And it brought joy to me as a dad. These gifts that we're talking about, these manifestations of the Spirit, these offerings of grace, which again we're calling spiritual gifts, these are given from our good Father who loves us. God gives them to his kids. He loves to give all kinds of gifts. Of course, the greatest gift God gives us is the gift of salvation. We don't deserve it. A gift, right, is not something you earn. A gift is simply something you receive from the giver. And so God saves us as a gift. And then God not only gives us his saving grace, but into what we're talking about, he gives us grace to serve. And at one level, he empowers us. He gives us the Spirit, and that strengthens us for whatever we're doing. But specifically, we're drilling down on the fact that we have these gifts, these specific things. And that's our study this morning. I ended last week with this quote. It's not in your notes, so that's okay. J.I. Packer, famous theologian, he said, and I love this, that the church is not like a bus where passengers sit quietly and let someone else do the driving. And probably in most cases, if it's a school bus, it's not very quiet. But in fact, the church is more like an anthill where everyone is at work. And that is just a great raw picture of what it means for everyone to have a spiritual gift, or two or three as it might be. And why we're doing this, I saw a person this morning over coffee, and he was asking me what I was teaching on, and I said spiritual gifts, and I said to him, the reason is because of our name. Soma means body. And that name was chosen for our church 9 years ago. By the way, just a few days ago was our 9th anniversary. Because we believe the church is God's, and specifically Jesus is the head of the church. He's called the senior pastor. So if he's the head, then we are the body. And not only is the body supposed to submit to the leadership of Jesus, but then secondly, the body analogy is used by the Apostle Paul to speak of all these various gifts, all these ways that we're unique members. And just as a body is made up of many parts, physical bodies, so the body of Christ, the family of God, is made up of each of us with differing gifts, differing parts to play. So that's why we are doing this. And my prayer all week, my prayer again this morning, is that this will be an encouraging few weeks. For some of you, hopefully it's a reminder. I talked to someone this morning who said, hey, I took one of the inventories you gave, and the top two that it showed that I have were ones I kind of thought I did. And so I'm hopeful that that's going on. I'm hopeful for some of you it's a discovery time, not only if you take the test or not, but as you hear and as you study and as you begin to ponder, how has God uniquely gifted me to serve this body, but then also the capital C church, the larger body. So, getting to the binders, I'm looking at what would be probably page 15 for you. This is like the last page of three pictures from last week, or almost last. Page 15, you'll see this at the top. Let me just talk real quick to get us caught up. What you see there is a book by one of my professors, and this book was real influential in this series, but really it goes back to his lectures in seminary, things he talked about over 20 years ago that really God used to lay a lot of these values deep within inside me. And the link there specifically is for a free spiritual gift inventory. So again, depending on your style, if you want to sit on a computer, you can go to that link. I also posted that in the private Soma group, Somites, earlier this week. And you can take, I think it's a 95-question online quiz. It'll email you the results, and it'll give you some idea. There's also inside your binder, on pages 8 to 14, so right before this, what I called old school, and all I meant is that it's paper. So you got to have a pencil or a pen, and you could take that one as well. Now that one, remember, I said it only covers 12 of the 19 gifts. So we're looking at the 19 gifts that are listed in the various passages in the New Testament. Okay, this one covers all 19. The old school paper one only covers 12. It does not include the gift of apostle, the gift of prophet, the gift of evangelist, and then healings, miracles, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Okay, so just know that if you do the one that's there. Lastly, about these inventories, these are not divinely inspired. Just because you take a test and an inventory says that you have these gifts, It doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it not true. It's just a means to get you thinking. It's just a means for you to begin to ponder. Oh, maybe, based on answering these questions, possibly this is how God has gifted me, okay? So again, keep that in mind. Here's our definition for spiritual gifts if you weren't with us last week and you're just joining us. We are defining gifts, I'm defining gifts as an ability or ministry. And really, it's the same thing. God doesn't give us these abilities so that we have this gift to just sort of keep and use for our own edification. These gifts, these abilities are really ministries for the church, for God's people, for His glory. So that's why the slash is there. So spiritual gifts, an ability, ministry given by God, and we looked last week at how the triune God is involved in giving these, and they are given to every Christian for service, ministry to others in the body. And there's my little note again about the inventories. They're just opportunities to think. And then finally, again, if that were to represent how it all might score out on a chart or graph, what you see there, I just want to encourage you to affirm and act on those peaks. Don't devalue the low things or think, oh, I don't have to do those things. We'll kind of hopefully talk about that as we start to go through and define these. Just because you may not have the gift of leadership doesn't mean that at some point in your life you may need to step forward and lead. Or you may have the gift of mercy. That doesn't mean at some point, though, you don't have to use the gift of giving to be a blessing in God's church. So all of the gifts are really things that we all should be doing. But some of us are uniquely gifted, and we find it easier maybe, and God blesses when we serve on those. But we all are called to use all of the gifts as God may deem necessary. But our goal is to act on the peaks and discover and think and so forth. Okay? All right. Now we are going to get to your binder where you've got some definitions. There's two pages. Well, there's three. One page shows a listing of the gifts by passage, and then you flip over and you'll start to see definitions. I think it was the last couple of pages of last week. So that's where we are getting this morning. But before that, page 7, I know I'm having you move around. That's okay. It's good for your mind. It's good for me. I want you to get to a page that looks like this across the top. So it should be about page 7 in your binder. And it says, discovering your grace gifts.
Yeah, none of these have pages on.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, page 7. Yes, thank you. That's in my notes for next time. Add page numbers. You know why I didn't do it is because I knew I'd be adding. And then that'd be really confusing if there were two page 7s. So the numbers I call out, if you just, you know, count, you'll get there. But it looks like this. It looks like this. It's good. But thank you. Yes, good. It's true. Discovering your grace gift. And again, in case you're wondering, what is grace gift? My professor, Dr. Russell, that's how he defined or termed spiritual gifts. So that's that. You could cross out grace gifts and write spiritual gifts if that bugs you. That's all it means, okay? All right. A couple things on this page before we start to look at a few gifts. If you have a pen, I want you to underline the last line there. That process that you see on that page, and even what I'm trying to talk about and teach about, isn't about steps 1 through 5. Or maybe to use a baseball analogy, it's not like running the bases, okay? You don't go to base 1 and then you have to wait, and then where you go from there, you don't get to go home, right? In baseball, you have to go, you have to logically move your way around. This is not like running the bases in a baseball game. This is much more dynamic, and while there is a place to pray, number one, and ask God, it might be that while you're praying and asking God, you are serving, and you're trying something out, and then you might take an inventory, and then you might continue to pray. So does that make sense? Don't look at this as strictly step one, and I don't do anything else until I'm, you know, and then step two, and they all really go together. So that's one thing I want you to underline. And then someone asked me to clarify the asterisk that's there. You see that on the fourth little box there. There's no footnote, right? Usually asterisks mean, oh, maybe there's something down below to find. All that asterisk is doing is highlighting the importance of it. It's emphasis, okay? So that's the only thing the asterisks mean, is that this step or this part of the process of discovery is important. So don't miss that, okay? All right, now let me comment on these just for a moment. Number one there, asking the head, asking Jesus. I love this line. If you go down the page there, Jesus wants you to discover your gifts far more than you want to discover them. It's just true. He does. He has given these, and he wants you to know them much more than you do. And some of you are excited about it. Some of you don't care so much. And so that's okay wherever you're at. But Jesus really does want you to discover these. And so ask him to reveal to you how he's gifted you. So that's so important. And that, again, that prayer and that asking continues through your whole life. I was listening to a sermon 2 weeks ago on the gift of prophecy. We'll get to that one this morning. And just wanted to understand this some more. And the sermon, the person that I was listening to said that he prays every week before he gets up to preach for a gift of prophecy in that moment. And it struck me. And so this is a little bit of the other side of the coin from what I said last week. I do still think that God gives us these gifts when he saves us. And I think that maybe some of them lie dormant until it's time for us to use them and until we discover them. But it was fun to hear that and to think, you know, maybe there's a place within the body, within certain moments, and for this pastor, speaker, to pray that. He wants to be prophetic every time he gets up to preach. Wow, that struck me. It got me thinking about other times when I go to visit people that are not feeling well, that are in the hospital. Why not pray in that moment for God to do a work of healing through me in that moment? So let's ask for things. God wants us to ask. I think he's gifted us. I think we have our main one or two, maybe three, but why not? Why not in the moment when we're nudged that way? Again, if it's for the building up of others and it's for his glory, let's ask. Step two. This is about studying the scriptures. This seminar, hopefully, is just the beginning of your study. Hopefully, you're asking questions beyond what we can cover here, and so you've got verses listed there, and hopefully you will be a lifetime student of God's Word, even as it relates to the gifts, the various gifts. So study the scriptures. We want everything we hold to about anything to come from this, especially gifts. Not just our experiences, and definitely not only our experiences, but what do the scriptures say? Where stands it written? So study. Number three, again, this quote from the bottom of that page. Based on the knowledge of your study of what the individual gifts are, what particular gifts interest you most and strike a responsive chord in you? What do you desire? Sometimes we think we can't desire things. I think God wants us to desire things. Now, again, we have to do the heart check, the ego check, but what do we desire? So take time to think about that as you've studied and as you're pondering being a part of the body, having a part to play. What gifts would you desire to have because you find them most fulfilling as you express them or when you see others express them? So again, it's fine and good and definitely okay to do sort of some internal desire check, okay? Number four, and again, this is the one where the asterisk means emphasis. Start serving in the church and in various ministries, and then begin to note which area of ministry or areas of ministry are confirmed. So sometimes we can think, okay, well, I took an inventory, and it shows I've got this gift. Well, all right, God, I'm just going to sit back and wait and wait and wait and wait for someone to ask me about my gifts, and we miss out on opportunities to serve. Start serving. I'm slowly asking you for what these inventories are revealing, or just as you study and believe you have gifts. Our pastor elders, we've talked about it. I know from our deacons what their gifts are based on the inventories. And so I do want to know from you. Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be punching all those into some computer program so that every week I'm constantly looking at them and thinking about where you should be serving. Now, there might be some of that I'll do, definitely. But please don't think, well, I told Paul or the other elders or the deacons what my gifts are, and no one's calling. Start to serve. You need to plug in. You need to say, hey, I want to serve in this way. I want to get involved. What do you need? Or I've got this idea. And then let's just, it's both. It's both, and let's work together. I will look at the info, and Lord willing, as an elder who's charged to oversee, and as an elder who has the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, that's part of what I should do. But I can't guarantee I'm going to always remember and always ping you when you're sitting there ready. So it's not like the old Batman show where the bat phone and Batman responds. Plug in, and let us know, and just start to serve. And as you do, where do you see confirmation? Where do you see confirmation? So that is so important. And then number five, what efforts related to your serving and God's confirming through others is God blessing? If you have these gifts, you'll find blessing. You'll also find times of challenge as well. I know in my gifts, in my use over 20 plus years, there have been times when I've doubted these gifts and questioned them, and I felt ineffective in their use. And those moments, again, are time to seek the Lord and to pray and to talk to others and to discern, you know, often for me it came from people that weren't happy with things. What's going on there? How much value do I put in what they're saying? What is worth learning and hearing from the criticism? And what is coming from an impure motive that I just need to leave and let the Lord refine me in? And so all those things play their part, but God will bless where he's gifted. So look for that and note that. And so this should just be a constant cycle that's happening in your life. You're praying, you are studying, you are seeking areas of desire, you're looking for God's blessing and others' affirmation, and it just continues. Okay, so again, not steps like running bases, but a much more dynamic experience. So this is huge. This is really huge. This would be probably my favorite thing related to this whole spiritual gift study that we talk about, is this page here and remembering this, okay? All right, well, let's now start to talk about some gifts. We have today and next week, and we will try to get through all 19 before the end of next Sunday morning. You see a list on the screen. You have a much fuller list, a piece of paper, page 16 in your binder. So keep counting if you were on 7 till you get to page 16. Again, you'll see the various verses, the main passages, and their lists. So these 19 gifts come from these four passages. And we want to begin now on page 17 and 18. You have all the 19 gifts listed with definitions and further notes, okay? And then today, hopefully, starting on page 19, you have some new handouts, okay? So what we're going to do is begin to go through. We're going to get through the gift of mercy today and pick up from there next week. So the gift of apostle, the gift of apostle. So a few things to talk about together. Some arguments against the present-day gift of apostleship. Let's start there, and this is going to let me kind of say a word or two about a few of the other gifts as well. So the guy this morning that was asking me what I was teaching on, when I said spiritual gifts, he had a follow-up question right away. Basically was, well, what do you mean by spiritual gifts? And I knew by the question and a little bit of knowing him what he was getting at. So there are these big categories, and some of you may be familiar with these. There are churches and groups of Christians that are called Pentecostal, okay? And so Pentecostal there's a lot we could say, but in their gatherings, for example, there would be lots of hands raising and moving around, and there would be tongues, and just it would probably to most of us seem chaotic, but it's just very dynamic in terms of the gathering and some differences in what all those things mean. I knew a kid in high school who was Pentecostal, and so for him, the gift of tongues was very important, and he actually thought that if a Christian didn't have that gift, they might not be a Christian. It was that important if you're a Christian that you have the gift of tongues, and I didn't know hardly anything, but finally, I remember reading in 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul says, not all have the gift of tongues, do they? Not all have the gift of wisdom, do they? And realized, oh, okay, we don't all have to have this. I think he was wrong, is wrong. But some that are Pentecostal would feel that way. And those gifts, what are generally called the sign or miraculous gifts, really are prominent. And the experience in the gathering is very important. Then moving, let's say this way, you have charismatic. Charismatic doesn't equal Pentecostal. It just means a lot of charisma, a lot of going on, and a lot of, again, movement of the Spirit. So again, the tongues and interpretations often can be prominent in those gatherings as well. Moving this way, you have what's called cessationist. Big long word, and the root word there is cease. And cessationists think that certain gifts have ceased. So in the Bible, apostle and probably prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues and miracles and healings and discernment, probably those seven, they have ceased. They had a part in the early church. That's why we read about it. But now with the completion of the Bible, the canon, those gifts, they served a purpose. They have ceased. Soma, in terms of our teaching position, in terms of where I'm at, we are not Pentecostal. We are not cessationist. We are open but cautious. As one guy put it, we're open but with a seatbelt on. So I don't think any of the gifts have ceased. I don't think there's a good argument in the scriptures for that, but I think there should be some caution. And let me just pick on tongues for a minute. I've never spoken in tongues. I can't say I've asked to speak in tongues either, and maybe I should. But the times I've been in a context where it's happened, it doesn't seem to match what 1 Corinthians 14 says about it. So in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about if there's tongues, there should be interpretation, and it's for the body, it's for the building up. And when I've been in groups where it's happened, it's just sort of happened, and then it's just stopped, and everybody's just sort of continued on. And I'm not knocking experience. I'm just saying that doesn't square with what I read here. But I'm also not going to say that's not real or that shouldn't exist. But if it does exist, it seems tongues is supposed to have this counterpart interpretation. So someone asked us a long time ago when we did the study, well, what would happen if in our gathering, if someone started speaking in a tongue? I hope that I would, after the person stopped, would ask if someone has an interpretation, and then we would just kind of continue on. But I'm really not worried about it at this point. In 9 years, that hasn't happened. It could happen. If it does, we'll just work our way through it, like any other thing we would need to work through. So again, we are not a Pentecostal church. We are not a cessationist church. My understanding is that all 19 of these gifts are in operation, but there's a degree of caution because of misuse in some circles. Some people claiming that unless you have an experience, some kind of ecstatic second blessing, then you really haven't tasted of the things of God. And that sort of language is where I get really cautious because I don't see that in the scriptures. So all of that, back to now, apostle, those that say this gift doesn't exist say an apostle had to be appointed, or one who was an eyewitness to Jesus and specifically the resurrected Jesus. They also say an apostle had to be personally appointed by Jesus. Okay, now that those are true, but within a context. You see, I believe both those points are true when we're talking about the office of apostle. So specifically the 12 and then the Apostle Paul. Those that Jesus chose from his pool of disciples, he appointed apostles, and they have a foundational role, or they had a foundational role. And Paul, he called himself one untimely born, but he also saw the resurrected Christ. And he very much acted within this office of apostle. A New Testament scholar by the name of Harold Honer, he says this. It's in your notes. You can look up here and listen. There are three kinds of apostles mentioned in the New Testament. Those who had been with Jesus in his ministry and had witnessed his resurrection. So think 12 apostles. Secondly, Paul, who was born out of season, 1 Corinthians 15:8 and 9, and who also therefore saw the resurrected Christ. So he's kind of with that group. And then three, those who received the gift of apostleship. The first two categories are to be regarded as the offices, whereas the last is the spiritual gift to the church. In the present context, so that's Ephesians 4, that's where the gift is listed, apostle is referring to the gift, that third category. And I think that is super helpful. And in fact, if you want to write down these verses, there are others that are specifically called apostles that aren't the 12 and aren't Paul. They aren't the office. Barnabas in Acts 14, 4 and 14, 1 Corinthians 9, 5 and 7. James, the Lord's brother, is called, is the word apostle is used with him in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7 and Galatians 1, 19. Apollos, 1 Corinthians 4, 6 and 9. Probably Silvanus in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 6. In that passage, it's fascinating. Paul is talking about we, and we came, and he says, we apostles. And we, going back to the beginning of 1 Thessalonians, Silvanus gets mentioned as one of the people sending this letter. So it seems Paul has in mind the office of apostle, the foundational role that he and the 12 played, and that's different from the gift of apostle that he mentions in Ephesians 4. So I think this definition is helpful for us. And so on your sheet, you have two definitions of apostle. Provisionally, it's the special ability to initiate the work of the church in new areas or in new ways that provide extraordinary health, growth, and maturity through that leadership. Or similarly and related, the ability to communicate the Christian message across cultural and frequently linguistic barriers and plant a Christian church where there is no knowledge of the gospel. A modern equivalent is the pioneer missionary. So I think that there is the gift of apostle today, and I think we see it most specifically in those people that go and cross cultural lines to start churches and start works, including church planting. Now, interesting, I was a church planter here at Soma. I don't have this gift. I don't score high on this at all, and it takes a team. And some of you probably, if you took the inventory or if you just think about it, you begin to think along some of these lines. How do you know if you have the gift of apostleship? Well, number one, do you enjoy working in cross-cultural settings? If you do, you might have this gift. Secondly, does the idea of living or visiting different places excite you? Just the thought of packing up and going and traveling and being in other places, all sort of as a missionary or in that kind of context, might be an indicator. Are you interested in presenting the gospel to those who may have never heard it before? And then finally, are you attracted to new ministries, new churches, new settings where a whole new approach to evangelism or service may be needed? So if those ideas speak to you, you may have this gift. And it probably sounds weird for most of us to think, yep, I'm an apostle. Okay. And again, we're not talking office, okay, but this gift. Do you enjoy nurturing other leaders and so forth? Now, there's some liabilities here with the gift of apostle. Those that do pioneer ministry, whether it's cross-cultural or whatever, they can often get bored, they can lose attention, they can always want to move on to something new and something else. So remember to be faithful in your call and to what God has called you to as well. You can maybe have some cultural have some insensitivities, excuse me, and you can be unaware and aloof of those things because you just want to come in and start. And so those could be possible liabilities of having this gift. But what a blessing that God gives his church, those with that desire to start new things and to get the gospel out there. What a necessary thing. Okay, the second in your list there is the gift of prophecy. By the way, I still don't really know why the gifts are in the order that we're going through them. I'm just staying with the order in Dr. Russell's list. So that takes us second then to the gift of prophecy. Now, this gift is one that is debated and has been debated over and over and over again. What exactly does this gift mean? What is it? And we need to talk about it. We need to consider what it is. First Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Verse 20, "Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil." I put this verse up here because often, and we did a study, a series through 1 Thessalonians a few years ago, these verses can all look like bullet points, like they're just four or five different things. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Okay. Secondly, don't despise prophecies. Third, test everything. Hold fast to what's good. Abstain from evil. And it can almost read that way. But remember, verse numbers aren't there. The Apostle Paul didn't write that in. We've added those to help us locate things. Really, these verses all go together. It seems that Paul has one thing in mind here, and that is about prophecies. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, who may give prophecies through people he's gifted. So don't despise them, but test. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Now, this is important. I skipped this. I want to come back to it now. The gift of prophecy is mentioned more than any of the other spiritual gifts. Interesting. It's in all of the gift lists, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. So it gets mentioned more than any of the gifts listed in those passages. So does that answer the question of is it still for today? It doesn't, but it seems that it has a part to play for God to want us to see it in all of the lists and then for Paul to say in 1 Thessalonians what he does about not quenching the Spirit and so forth. Now, one thing to note right away, to have the gift of prophecy is not to... We sometimes hear prophet, and we think of foretelling. So we can think of some of the maybe Old Testament prophets. They foretold things, right? Isaiah prophesied about Jesus and what would happen and other things related to the people of Israel and so forth. But that was really only a small part of what the prophets did. Even the Old Testament prophets, they were foretellers. They were telling God's word to his people. "You, prophet Jeremiah, say this to my people. I have this word for you," and so forth. So we sometimes think foretelling, but really that was a small part of what some of them did. They were foretellers. Now, as we then think about that for the gift today, it doesn't mean that you get some new revelation from God that would be on par with this. If that were the case, our Bibles would need to keep growing and growing and growing and growing. So to receive a gift of prophecy and to use it isn't to have new revelation that is infallible, inerrant. No, it's to speak forth from God. And I think, like Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, it's to be tested. Prophets can be wrong. Those with the gift can err. It's to be tested. But boy, sometimes what a good thing to have someone with this gift just say and communicate in a way that we need to hear truth from God. And so our definition, which is on the sheets then, is this. The gift of prophecy is the ability to transmit Spirit-given, intelligible messages, usually in the gathered church, for the edification, encouragement, or consolation of the people. A part of this gift is providing divine direction and broad strategies for the body's wisest and most fruitful ministry. Now, again, experiences. You've had experiences. And our job, we have to kind of go, okay, I had this experience, and the scriptures say this, and my experience is different than these other experiences. And so we weigh experiences, but hopefully we weigh them less than what the scriptures say. And even this definition, this is pulling together as much consensus as can be found in what different groups think. Again, we believe in a closed canon. That is, these books, the Old and New Testament, this is it. There's no new revelation that is being transmitted. But boy, God can, and I've been on the receiving end of someone with the gift, I think, the gift of prophecy, that is able to, in the moment, say something in just a way that cuts to the heart, cuts to the core. And then God can do other sort of miraculous kinds of things. Charles Spurgeon, there's some documentation a couple of different times in his preaching 100 plus years ago in London, where he's preaching and he looks up in the balcony and he says, just out of nowhere, "Young man up there in the balcony, you have some gloves that you stole, you didn't pay for. When this service ends, you need to make that right." Well, you know, what is that? Again, we can call it a prophetic moment there. We can just, you know, call it just in that moment, God gave him some knowledge. My point is, we all have experiences. We've all heard something, read something, and the goal today isn't to just wipe away or erase what we've experienced. And maybe you've experienced it differently, and that's fine. But as we think about it, it seems that this is a gift that God still gives. It's listed in all the passages. It's listed more than the others. And we need people to be able to just speak the word in ways. In the gathered assembly, in smaller contexts, those maybe who write and have an itinerant ministry, and we can listen and just go, wow, that person is on to something, is able to just right now, God's using that person's voice in the American context, the American church, or over here. And so, again, what a gift to a small church, a local body, but also to the broader and bigger body of Christ. I don't know if John Piper would agree, but for me, he acts as a prophetic voice. When I listen to him and read him, there's things he says, and I look at the date when he said that, and I think, wow, that's very prophetic in that moment. So that's a person for me. Number three, teaching, the gift of teaching. Rather straightforward, I think. The definition there you have printed is the keen interest in the personal study of God's word, the capacity to communicate clearly the truths and applications of the word so that others may learn and profit. Again, the gifts are for the building up of the body. If you're just a bookworm and you just love to learn for your own edification, that's not the gift of teaching, right? It's meant to be given away. There's some examples, I think, in the Bible. The Apostle Paul seems to have had this gift. Acts 18:26 says that Priscilla and Aquila taught and explained things. And so this husband and wife team seem to have been gifted with, both of them, the gifts of teaching. Peter and Timothy and John seem to have this gift. A few characteristics of a person with the gift of teaching. They rely on the authority of Scripture. It's not just their own idea, but what does it say? And looking up the little cross-references and understanding words, and that words have meaning in a sentence context and in a paragraph and in an author's thought. I mean, all of that for some of us is just way too detailed, but it's a person with this gift relies on the authority of the scriptures. They enjoy all that research and presenting the truth. They're tenacious about keeping verses in context and about the accuracy of statements made. And so praise God for gifted teachers in the church and to the church as well. The gift of helps/service. So let's just talk about this for a moment. In Romans, I believe it is, it's the word help in the English translation. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it's the gift of service. So two different Greek words. I am with a majority of scholars that see that it's really the same idea. To have the gift of helps is to have the gift of service. They are synonymous. So you may say, I have the gift of helps. You may say, you have the gift of service. It's one and the same gift. Again, Paul often and the other writers used words as synonyms, and it seems that's what is going on, although maybe some point out in Romans 12, the gift of helps specifically applies to certain situations, certain people with specific needs, but it seems that these are one gift. Okay, it's the gift of help or service. The definition we have for you is the capacity to serve faithfully in practical ways, doing what might be called household duties in the Lord's work so that others are encouraged and strengthened. Hospitality may in fact be one aspect. Applications of this gift. Volunteering in any ministry, right? There's plenty of behind-the-scenes work that's just as important to the mission as the work people see and affirm. Oh, that's so, so important. And most of you have this gift. You do it at one level. That's what I noticed here. I've noticed in other churches. That seems to be one of the gifts that many in the body have. And there's many places to serve in the church. And we have them as well. And we are thankful for you that have this gift of ministry or service and helps that stick around joyfully to clean up, and you serve with kids, even though kids aren't your favorite thing, but you know there's a need there, or you come to our service projects that we do for the school or Easter, and all of a sudden you're asked, hey, can you go hand these flyers out? Can you go do this? And you do it. And so it's huge. It's huge. Think about our own physical bodies. Certain parts are much more visible, and we put a lot more attention to the parts that people see, right? We cut our hair and we clean up, and this stuff up here we really emphasize and focus on. And then, you know, our arms and hands have to do a lot, so we make sure these work. Probably then our legs, you know, play a part next. But we could sort of rank different parts that don't seem to get as much notice. But even like I joked last week, we have little parts that may seem little, may seem insignificant, but when they don't work right and when something's wrong, the whole body is detrimentally affected. And when people aren't serving with the gift, the body's affected. The body's affected. So if you have this gift, it's a blessing. It's huge. It's huge. And it's cool. I mentioned that our deacons have all taken one of the inventories, and we talked about it this week. The word deacon is just a transliteration of a word to serve, okay? And it's cool, I think, that all of our deacons, they scored high on that gift. So that fits. Even we didn't know that by a gift inventory, but all of our deacons here at Soma, they were asked to be deacons because the pastor elders, we noticed that they serve and they have just a capacity that's more than just they're doing the chores, but it seems to be a gift from God, and others are blessed. And I just think that's super cool that even our deacons show that. Now, there's a liability to you that have this gift. There's a few. Number one, people with this gift can be yes people, and they can take on too many things. And if there's a need, okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll be there. Yes, yes, yes. And then there's burnout, and then, you know, and that's no good. That's no good. So you have to know when too much is too much and when to say no. Another liability, people with this gift can be overused and therefore abused by others with other gifts, and especially from people with administrative gifts, because administrators know who the servants are. And so, you know, these are things to be aware of in the body. So we don't want you with this gift to be overused and to feel guilted and all of that. Please say no sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes if you have this gift. Last gift this morning, the gift of mercy. I love Romans 12, 3-8. It's on the screen. It's in your notes. I'm going to skip because of time just to the last part that you see in orange there. Enlisting all these gifts, and then when it gets to mercy, Paul says, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. How wonderful is that? You that have this gift, you are encouraged by the Apostle Paul to do it with cheerfulness. And those of us that have had hurts and have been discouraged and down, we have been blessed by you with this gift. What a huge, huge thing for God to give mercy givers to the church. And if you have this gift, you are vital. You are vital and you are encouraged to use this gift. Simple definition, the capacity to give undeserved aid joyfully, especially to those whom the majority ignores. Sometimes it's only those with the gift of mercy that are able to tell that someone needs some mercy in that time. And what a huge thing that is. What a huge, huge thing that is. Some key elements. There's a strong sense of compassion or empathy on the part of the individual with the gift of mercy. Again, it's a God-given ability to minister toward those who are hurting. And then finally, and this is in your notes, I think, there's an emotionally connect. There's emotional connection that happens with the person hurting. So this is a good one to remind ourselves. We're all called to be merciful. Right? Okay, just because you don't have the gift of mercy doesn't give you a pass to be rude and short and, you know, unmerciful to someone. Right? We're called to love and we're called to show compassion again to one another, to act merciful. But some of you, God has given you a gift, an ability that others of us are blown away by, and you line up with this. And you that have it, you know. And we that have ministered from it, we know too. So this is important. This is huge. How do you know if you have this gift? Well, again, you're cheerful, you're non-condemning, you're compassionate and sensitive to other people's distresses. So that rules me out instantly. Not really all the time, but inside sometimes. But those of you with the gift of mercy, boy, you just, man, again, from the Lord, you have this in you. You're quick to respond to others' needs for help, quick. There's just an immediate desire to respond. And you attract those with struggles. That's the other thing. Those with the gift of mercy are magnets for those that are hurting, because you're sympathetic and you convey an air of understanding. So what a huge, huge thing that God gives gifts of mercy to the church.
Doesn't helpful and servant and mercy almost come together a little bit?
Yeah.
Because you help out, it's kind of together.
Yeah. I think definitely, Chris, he said, don't those with the gift of mercy and helps often come together. And I think he's very, very true, very correct in that. In fact, one person I'm thinking of in our church who scores high on mercy and I think acts on it also has a high gift of service helps. And so, yes, that does often come together. It's a good observation. Well, we will pick up with evangelism next week and get into some of the others. Let me end with a few things. These aren't in your slides, so this is added bonus material. In 1 Corinthians 12, a little bit farther on, verse 18, Paul says, as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. The immediate context is the physical body, and he's been going back and forth in that whole chapter. But right there, he's just finished talking about our physical bodies, but it's going to launch him into the spiritual body. So it applies. It applies. God, in his sovereignty, has gifted each of us and put us in the body as he chose. And then into Romans 12. I want you to be encouraged by this morning and again in our study. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So soma, we are one, and yet we are individually members. There's unity, and there's diversity, and what a blessing that is. And having received God's saving grace and serving grace in these ways, let's use these gifts. Let's grow and become a church that acts on our gifts and is involved and is praying for God's gifting and is looking for affirmation of these gifts, and we're therefore doing what he says in Ephesians 4, maturing as each individual member does his part. And we can do that only because of what Jesus did to bring us together. And if we had time, we'd dip back now into Ephesians 2, where Paul says that with Christ, he did away with the law and the commandments that were about how a person was right with God, and he made one new body, taking Jew and Gentile in Christ and through his work to this new body, the church. And it's because of Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension and his gifting of salvation that we are called to this. Again, we don't earn gifts. We receive what God's given, and then we use them. And I pray you're encouraged. If you have questions, I'd love to chat more, and we'll continue to get into the rest of these in the weeks to come. Heavenly Father, thank you for a study on gifts, and I know we're going quickly through these, and I'm okay with that. My hope is that we'll continue to keep this big picture in mind, that you have gifted each of us, and you want us to use our gifts for you in the church. And so help us remember the big picture, even as we have questions, even as maybe we've had different experiences, even as maybe we have some different understandings of some of these. That's okay. I think on the big points, there's consensus. And I want that to be the case, that we can be one body united while we're diverse. So God, grow us, use us. And God, I thank you for each of these gifts that we've looked at today. And I thank you for these in this church that have these gifts and use them. May they know your blessing in using these gifts and know how vital they are. And help us that are on the receiving end express our thanks and appreciation to those who serve in these ways. In Jesus' name.